Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
How's it going, dude?
Good, dude. Do we know what we're going to talk about this week?
Not a lot of Sharks news this week, dude.
A little slow. It is July, and we talked for a couple hours last week, it seemed like.
Just want to call it? Get some custard?
Yeah, let's just do that. All right. Later, dude.
See you, dude.
What are we, nuts? That's not going to happen.
Comedy gold. Are you kidding me? We love to talk. We're not going to take a week off.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live.
Who'd do that?
Who would do that?
We are going to make the most out of no news, because as a wise man once said, no news is good news.
Yeah, Gary Gnu.
That's right, Gary Gnu's. Dude, there's a few things to talk about.
There are, really? I was actually kind of serious.
I want to talk about my iPad.
That's right. You're using an iPad this week as opposed to your normal laptop. So you're like all fancy and
high tech.
I can
see. Now we can have better eye contact.
Yes, I can look deeply into your eyes.
Did I tell you you're my hero? Dude.
And now I can actually watch you surfing the naughty sites. I can't see it before.
Dude, it's so inappropriate of you to even imply that.
Right, because
we have friends and family who listen to this podcast.
Well, it's time for a wake-up call.
An intervention?
Yeah, a little bit.
I got to tell you that first I want to say how much I love my iPad, and you really should stop your holdout and get one.
Dude, you're like plugging companies now. We're not even getting paid for this plug.
No, I'm just saying I enjoy it, and you're going to see how much better my performance is. I got the iPad because we went to arbitration, to be honest. And
okay.
The arbiter said, I need to get an iPad to be better.
Wow.
And so I got a raise and an iPad, dude.
Nice, dude. That's
and
pretty sweet.
You got that blue stripe polo.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a little bit too small.
But I like to wear my man shirt tight.
This is my gun shirt. We go to the gun show.
I got to tell you, the other thing that's happened to me this week has nothing to do with hockey is I was encouraged to and finally started watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Got to tell you, that series is awesome. Mm-hmm. Dude, good times.
Okay.
You should definitely go check it out on Netflix.
What is this, like Plugfest 2011?
I've got a side deal.
Okay. I guess, dude, you do, because I'm not seeing a dime of this.
Speaking of deals, how about that Andrew Murray signing?
Yeah, I was a little bit off on that one.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
I finally won a bet. I feel so excited. $575,000 deal, which is, that's just right. You know, I mean, this guy couldn't put together a full NHL season last year. He's not anything really but a fourth liner, but based on Tom McClellan's comments and working the corners, it sounds like he's going to be in the mix here, and they pretty much list the guys that we've already talked about. It sure seems like from what he's saying that they're pretty much done, Ski, in terms of bringing in guys. I mean, there's still some decent bottom six players floating around out there, guys like Drury, people like Brian McCabe who are still unsigned, and Kyle Wellwood, still the ever popular and always hungry Kyle Wellwood, is just floating around looking for a city with a good hometown.
Yeah.
Good hometown buffet.
Yeah. So,
poor Kyle Wellwood. So they mentioned names like McGinn, Desjardins, Murray. Another name that was very popular last year during training camp but did not even make the ice was Cam McIntyre because of injuries. Do you think it's possible Cam McIntyre might be a player in here? He couldn't even really put together a healthy season down in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, it's a long shot. Way long, actually.
They seemed really hot on this kid, though, coming into last season. So maybe we'll get a little bit of a taste to see what he's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good, dude. So thank you for the beer. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you're welcome, dude. You're welcome. You deserve it.
Other bit of Sharks news is that the other assistant coaching spot has been taken within. They say it's been taken internally.
Right.
Internally. Jay Woodcroft getting a little bit of a promotion, dude.
Yeah.
To full-time behind the bench, dare I say it, duties.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what do you make of this? Are you surprised or is this the right call?
I'm not surprised. It's really hard to evaluate as a fan how good an assistant coach is. I mean, it's almost impossible.
I know he was super nice. I had a brief encounter with him.
Oh, did you?
I did. Well, I think I told you when my wife sang for the Sharks fantasy camp.
Right.
We went up. We were there really super early, and I was watching the St. Louis Blues kind of do their pregame, or not even pregame, but the just day of games optional skate.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cam Jansen's out there like bitching and complaining about, you know, how much he sucks. Basically, they were playing all those games, but Jay Woodcroft was just watching them. And then he talked to us for a couple minutes. He didn't have to do that. We didn't even engage him in conversation. He just came up and started talking to us. I thought that was pretty cool.
So, that is cool.
Hopefully, he can improve the Sharks' penalty kill, which was borderline dreadful at times last year. That's going to be something he's working on, I believe. Or is it Matt Shaw? I can't remember who's going to be sliding into those responsibilities, but either way, that needs a little bit of TLC.
Dude, does it depress you to know that Jay Woodcroft is actually younger than both of us?
Yeah, he's a baby-faced man.
Yeah?
I'm not surprised. Good for him.
I'm not surprised, but it does depress me a little bit. It's like, what have I done with my life? Here's the guy in the NHL, and I'm sitting here in my mom's basement.
Now you're front of a microphone. You're giving away the location.
I guess
you've
have.
You've done a lot with your life, dude.
The basement.
I can think of a couple great things you've done with your life.
You mean other than wear this shirt?
That shirt is one of them, dude.
Yeah.
You have taught me how to drum on Rock Band.
That's true, I have.
So thank you. I'm still terrible, but you have encouraged me. You've introduced me to delicious frozen custard.
Mm-hmm.
And
are we going to plug that too? Because we got a tweet to that effect asking us where we got the frozen custard.
You want to say?
Are we going to tweet it?
Well, why not?
Okay, we got a Willow Glen frozen or ice cream and frozen yogurt.
You can't even get it right. How are they supposed to get the business?
Well, who cares? They'll figure it out. Google it. You know, it, close enough.
Google delicious frozen custard.
Yeah, you'll find it.
And then Mike.
You'll see my picture right there.
See what comes up. No, please don't Google that. Who knows what's going to come up?
Yeah, you know,
so frightening, dude.
Something
so frightening.
From my youth may come up.
You know, the other thing I want to talk to you about before we get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast today is that we saw... you know what, dude? I'm going to save this because it actually is part, I think, of this question that I can kind of pose this extra question here, dude. We don't have a ton of material for today, but luckily, our friend from across the pond... Andy, the governor, has written a quite a lengthy email with three or four very detailed questions. So we've decided, governor, this podcast is all about you and all British.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
I'm not sure if that's really a testament. Did we just call him a nowhere man?
It was the first Beatles song that popped up in your library, so I don't think that was meant to be an insult.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been like, love me do.
It could have been, which could be love me dude.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's even more inappropriate than the song you just played.
Perhaps.
Is there
okay.
a better Beatles song that we should have used instead?
We'll have to think of one.
Send it to questions@dudesonhockey.com.
We only take the most
important questions.
All right,
Andy, thanks for giving us material for the podcast. We've got four questions here for you, and we're going to answer all of them.
All right. Number one, I'm still struggling to come up with to terms. With
British
the
accent, please.
Dude, no. I want people to continue to listen. I'm still struggling to come up with the outcomes of the Stanley Cup Finals. It was easier to get over the disappointment of going out to the Blackhawks last year and the knowledge that they had lost to the best team. This year, there's no debate that the West was stronger than the East, and losing to Canucks on the back of one game lost to those 5-on-3s and one to blown calls. The consensus we had gone out to the best team in hockey again. So after a bit of reflection, how far off do you think the Sharks were last season? Was the result of the final simply due to a bad matchup for Vancouver? Did they bottle it? Would the Sharks have done any better against Boston? How would you guys sum up what happened? So we're a couple months removed from the Stanley Cup Finals now. We might have a little bit better perspective than we did right after the Sharks lost, and we were jaded and bitter, and now we're just jaded. So what do you think, dude? Is the Sharks-Boston matchup, would you have liked that matchup if the Sharks made it to the Finals?
I think I would have liked it. I think we would have lost. I mean...
Really?
Yeah, I do, because... given some reflection and you look back and dude, I want to say, first of all, I'm a total, convert for as I go plugging something else.
Oh, no.
Puck Prospectus, dude, you've talked about Puck Prospectus.
I finally
ponied up the money and now I get access to all their articles. It's fantastic. And they had a great one this week about role players.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that one?
I didn't read it.
They talk about role players on NHL teams, guys. And the criteria for this is they got to play more than 50 games, forwards play around the 15-minute mark, D-men play around the 8 to 12-minute mark. All right, mm-hmm. So, you know, Dan Boyle's not a role player.
Right.
Right? The best team with the best GVT for their role players, shockingly enough, was the Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins.
Right.
And I think you probably could have guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
Their supporting cast was outstanding. Second best, Tampa Bay. Big surprise. They're, you know, the number two team in the East. Vancouver, 11.2 GVT. They're like in the middle of the pack, but still effective. Sharks, 1.7.
Wow. Is that playoff numbers only or overall?
No, I think it's overall. 24th in the entire NHL.
Yeesh.
So if that doesn't underscore how problematic the Sharks supporting cast was. I mean, I know we're just kind of going off stats and numbers, but you love that stuff, too.
I do indeed.
It's a problem, right? The Sharks' bottom six was not good enough to win in a Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. Don't you think, dude?
Yeah, yeah. I think Vancouver, Andy, was also hurt by injury. I mean, they had a lot of injuries.
Sure.
And I think that they were really decimated by a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Even in the finals, they were still affected. So.
But so was Boston.
So was Boston. But I think, what, Ham Hughes was out. I mean, they lost some really good...
Boston was missing Horton, Savard.
Yeah. But Savard wasn't even really on the team. Did he play at all last year?
No, I don't think
you
so.
Can't really count.
All right, well, dude,
but Horton's a big minus, as
right.
you said.
I don't want to take anything away from the Bruins.
No, no, I think that had something to do with the fact that Vancouver lost. I think that the Sedins just didn't really show up all that well,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was a huge part. Those two things, I would put it up, but I don't want to take anything away from Boston either, because, you know, for one, I want to toot my own horn because I picked Boston to come out of the East
right.
at the trade deadline, but I didn't. Really honestly think that they could beat Vancouver. So
I don't think either of us did when we were watching the finals, but I'm not sure that we could have beat them. I don't know. I mean, the way you watch how the Sharks completely fell apart in the conference finals for a second straight year, it's almost self-sabotage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the puck disappearing on the ice, no one knows where it is
right.
until it falls to the feet of, you know, Kevin Bieksa, right?
Yeah.
And then he just drills it past Niemi. The, you know, three straight 5-on-3s in a game that they should have won in game four at home. You know, you're looking at it. I mean, yeah, did the Sharks get some bad bounces? Sure. But I give them full responsibility for both those losses.
Yeah.
They
oh, yeah.
blew it. You know, 5-on-3 in a game they were dominating. They blew it. They couldn't capitalize on those early power plays. And then in game five, I mean, they were winning until the last like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And they blew it.
Right.
So, you know, if they had put it all together, and we'll see, this is going to be the difference, dude. You know, Ken Havlat, Hanzus, and, you know, a better supporting cast make the difference here?
I hope so. And another big change, and we saw again from a Puck Prospectus article, was it last week or the week before, that Antti Niemi did not have good numbers in the playoffs at all. And arguably, well, or actually inarguably, in my opinion, Tim Thomas was the best goalie of the playoffs and certainly the runaway Vezina winner. So that those are two huge differences between the Stanley Cup champions and the Sharks. Fantastic, elite, out-of-this-world goaltending, and excellent, excellent third- and fourth-line role-player support, and the Sharks had neither of those.
Puck Prospectus actually called Antti Niemi, and I quote, the worst player of the 2011 playoffs.
Right, right.
So, you know,
yeah,
I respect their opinion. I think that might be a little drastic, but he was not the difference maker that we've seen him be during the regular season. So a lot of that definitely is put on the shoulders of how bad the penalty kill was. Penalty kill was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave up a lot of power play goals.
Right.
So we'll see. But I guess in my opinion, I mean, I'm saying we couldn't have beat Boston. Do you think we could have? I mean, could we have? Yes.
After watching them,
it would have happened.
At the time, I would have thought that we could have. But after watching them play, I don't think we would have. I think I have to agree with you. With the goaltending and the role, and especially the goaltending, in my opinion, I don't think we could have overcome that.
Question two.
Interesting debate on the blog this week regarding Doug's list of prospects. My question is, can you build a team without prospects? If you look at the Sharks' top-line combos by wage, as good of a measure as any, you have Thornton, Marlowe, Havlat, Boyle, Burns, and Niemi. Only one of those was drafted by the Sharks, and that was number two overall. I would view that as a high-end pick rather than a prospect, so does it matter if we rank so low? Can you build a team without... See, picks and prospects, I guess, you know, I sort of think of them as the same thing. My answer is no, you can't. You can't build a team without prospects because we traded Brad Stewart, who was a number seven overall for Thornton. And, you know, Havlat, we traded Danny Heatley, for which we gave up, you know, we gave up Milan Mihalik, who was a number nine overall. So, I mean, to get these pieces, we had to give away good players that the Sharks grew at home. And I don't think that if you have, it's kind of hard to trade for good assets if you have no other assets, right?
Right.
And the way to get an assets for nothing is to draft them. Or you do a way off the radar signing in where the player just blossoms into an all-star without you ever expecting it. And, you know, that just flat out just doesn't happen that often. I mean, Darren Boyle is one, you know, example of that. I mean, with Tampa Bay, I mean, Florida sort of ditched him and then he went on to Tampa Bay and became an all-star, but that happens a lot less. I mean, the way to build a good team is to draft well and develop well, and high draft picks are the easy way to get there. Of course, you can get lucky with guys like Joe Pavelski and Pavel Datsyuk, but
Look at Detroit. I mean, Detroit has made a living, you know, drafting well in the bottom rounds. So effective. I mean, that team has been good and continues to be good. I mean, they're the best example of how to keep the pipeline flowing maintain. They're the exception.
They're the exception to the rule.
By far. So, but yeah, you do need prospects in order to build a winner. It doesn't mean you're going to keep your prospects to make your team competitive. But, you know, you're not going to necessarily just have a team of all prospects, and that's going to be... You turn them into pieces that will help you win now instead of helping that's going to win later. I think, you know, Andy, maybe what you're getting at is, you know, the Sharks' best players are not homegrown except for Marlowe. That's going to be effective maybe for the next, I'm going to say, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is definitely going to bite us in the ass. Mm-hmm. It's going to.
Oh, yeah.
The clock is ticking for sure at the end of the Thornton Marlowe contracts. The thrill is gone.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a problem. It's coming.
The only way that it couldn't be, that I could see an avoidance of some of this is if we re-sign all those guys. We re-sign Boyle, we re-sign Marlowe, and we re-sign Thornton. And then those guys continue to be pretty productive into their late 30s. And then the Sharks somehow either stockpile or just flat out don't trade away their picks, and those picks develop. But other than that, other than both of those things happening at the same time, the Sharks are going to see a major downturn in about 3 years.
The odds are long, because that would mean they'd have to be these, you know, the low-ranked system's going to have to overperform, and you're going to have to see a couple of those guys come in and be, you know, pretty consistent contributors. And we'll see what happens, dude. I don't know. I mean, if the Sharks win a cup in the next 2 years, will they tear it down, or will they try and, you know, do almost like what the San Francisco Giants are doing right now and do like a Band-Aid job while their best player, their best hitter is out, and they go out today and trade the Giants today. You probably don't know this.
No.
They traded their top pitching prospect by reporter standards, maybe not their internal rankings. We don't know what those are. But their top pitching prospect, their first round pick from 2 years ago, I think, or 3 years ago. And they trade him to get a guy in Carlos Beltran who is at the end of a big deal, and he's going to be a free agent, and he may just walk away, but they're going for it.
Right.
So it's very similar in terms of what the Sharks are doing. The Sharks have the opportunity to win now. The Giants are in first place. They have opportunity to win now. They're going to go for it. These opportunities don't come along.
That's true.
So you just don't hold on to these, you know, young players and say, I hope in 5 years they're good.
Right. Right.
You know, so, but
it's a mix, but the piece of the you know, the recipe is a mix of veterans, guys you acquire, guys you develop, and right now that part of the recipe is a little thin for the Sharks, and they're going to have to rebuild that some way. You can't just go out and trade for great players without trading something good in return.
You've got two good young centerpieces in Pavelski and Couture that are right. going to be around for a long time if mm-hmm. they decide to keep those guys. So, you know, all is not lost, but definitely a good question.
Troubled waters ahead, perhaps.
Governor.
All right, number three. I've been quite surprised at the impact the salary cap increase has had. Rising from 59 to 64 million has given all teams a lot of room to play with. That 5 million could be used to upgrade 10 players by $500,000, 5 players by 1 million, or have an additional $5 million player. Given how many teams spend to the cap in 10-11, 12 teams within $1 million, I would have thought the prime beneficiaries would have been this year's free agents, but other than the Flyers using their extra room to land Brzgalov, no other team has gone down this route. Why do you think this is, and what is your take on how teams have approached the increase? My own view is that with long-term contracts, GMs are viewing players' worth in comparison to players already signed rather than fully embracing the new cap and with it the economic environment as it is. It makes good politics to stay frugal. So what do you think about that, dude? Are you paying attention at all, or are you just...
Sorry, dude. I was looking at inappropriate videos on my iPad. God, you totally got me. Dude, when's the bargaining agreement over? After this season, right?
That was my first
thought. So, you know, I think for a lot of teams, they don't want to get in a position of being committed to some... doing what the Buffalo Sabres have done, mm-hmm. which is basically screw the whatever salary cap there may or may not be and whatever contract rules there may or may not be. You know, we're going to, you know, try and get the best players here possible. And the only way to do that is to overpay, you know, mm-hmm. to get them to Buffalo.
Right.
So I think that's the main factor, dude. But this is definitely more your question, dude.
No, that was my number one thought, too, is when the collective bargaining agreement is up and you're not sure what the rules are going to be, that's a big source of uncertainty because... You know, we talked about these contracts, I think, last week where you see a guy make $10 million 1 year and then by the end of the contract, he's making $1 million in order to cut the cap hit. Well, what if they change that whole calculus of how you calculate the cap hit? Then some of these teams with these contracts thinking they were being all smart, well, now they're screwed and they're going to have to take this huge cap hit at the, you know, either at the end of the contract or they have a different calculation. Maybe they have like a 2 or 3 year rolling average, or there's a million different ways you can do it. So I think a lot of uncertainty that way is a big deal. And, you know, frankly, you're talking about real dollars here that teams are paying out. And, you know, another something we talked about last week is even though the cap hit has gone up, you know, some teams are pretty cash poor, as in they don't want, you know, the franchise may be appreciating in terms of dollars, but they actually have to put out the $60 million in real money this year in order to pay their players. And some teams just don't have that amount of money coming in, you know, in terms of revenues, you know, ticket sales and corporate sponsorships and so forth. So that's why you got teams like Toronto and Philly and the Rangers. They can spend to the cap because they got the cash coming in, TV deals, tickets and all that stuff. But then you have other teams. They may want to spend at the cap, but they're frankly, you know, just from an ownership perspective, if you're just hemorrhaging money year after year, it looks kind of bad and it makes ownership really nervous. So, and you know, with the economy as it is, people not buying as many tickets, that kind of stuff, except in Winnipeg, obviously, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty with today's market. And I think, you know, the CBA expiring and the economy the way it is, I think that's a big deal. And there are a couple teams that went kind of nuts. I mean, Florida went kind of nuts, right? So there's always a couple teams that go a little nuts. Every
Florida
year.
Still has almost $14.5 million in cap space.
Right.
I mean, they had so much money to spend. I mean, there's teams that aren't even at the floor yet. I mean, what's the floor?
I couldn't tell you.
I mean,
that's
Islanders.
On, that's on CapGeek. It should tell you.
Islanders are definitely under.
If you go down, it should.
I don't see it, dude.
I don't know how to use my iPad.
I can't find it.
All right.
So, you know, you look at the teams that have the five lowest payrolls, Islanders.
Yeah.
Big problems. I mean, they're trying to build a, you know, new arena because mm-hmm. Nassau Coliseum sucks. I've been there. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though they've kind of put together a decent young team, you know, and they have a lot of good prospects in the pipeline, you know, they might not even stay there. I mean, they might move, right?
Could happen.
You know, Nashville, they're always going to be at the bottom of this list. Colorado is just, seems to be grossly mismanaged.
They're a shambles.
And Phoenix has no ownership group.
Right.
And Winnipeg seems to be really hesitant to spend any sort of big dollars right now.
They're just kind of getting on their feet.
So, you know, not shocking, those are the bottom five. And then you've got the top five. Buffalo, almost $3.6 million over the cap right now.
Wow.
So someone's going to reap the benefits of them. Although they could just ditch Kotalik, I guess. They can just send mm-hmm. him down. Caps, Flyers, Rangers, Calgary. Mm-hmm. A little surprising in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So, well,
speaking of Winnipeg, dude, what's your take on the new Winnipeg logo, which is the fourth and final question from the governor? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Good answer. Okay.
I don't know. I don't really care. If it's not my team, I don't really care. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to wear it. It's fine. It's good. Yeah, sure.
It's not horrible. It's not awesome.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between...
I remember when the new Shark... Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, when the new Sharks logo go out, because what I was going to say, I'm sure, wasn't very going to be very interesting.
People were like, when the new Sharks logo came out, I remember people were like, Remember, a lot of people were really pissed about that.
I like the Shield one. I still do. The Shield logo that's on that hat sitting right next to you.
The Steve Shields one?
Yeah.
Steve Shields.
All right, good email. Thanks, Andy.
All right, dude. Well, how have we done?
We're doing good.
Oh, we're going to be in under 30 minutes.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Oh, we got one more thing to talk about.
We do?
Dude, I am pissed off.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Puck Daddy has
If you're pissed, it's going to take a lot more than 3 minutes.
Sorry. Excuse me.
What are you, Howard now?
I don't know what happened.
You're burping on the radio.
I had a banana on the way over here.
Oh,
makes me burpy.
Okay.
Dude, Puck Daddy's been ranking different positions.
Right.
And, you know, the Sharks have had some players in the top 25
mm-hmm.
at all the positions. It's funny that Havlat actually was ranked above Heatley. I didn't expect that, but very interesting.
A little strange.
Joe, I think, was in the top 10 centers. You'd expect that.
I think it was number 9, yeah.
And then the left wing rankings came out, I believe, today.
Mm-hmm.
And at number 3... Well, number 1 is Ovechkin, number 2 is Daniel Sedin, number 3 is Patrick Marleau.
Okay.
All right? He's ahead of Bobby Ryan... Not sure I agree with that.
Okay.
Okay. I think we would agree that we might flip-flop them or at least put Ryan over Marleau.
Right.
I think. And they have Zach Parise in there too. If he was healthy and we knew he was going to be healthy, I think he would definitely
be higher.
That's a solid top five, right?
Yeah.
Not listed in the top 25.
Or in the honorable mentions.
Or in the honorable mention, which features such great players like Dustin Penner. Is Ryan Clough not listed, dude?
Yeah.
I'm pissed. I can't believe it.
Right.
Who is this person? Sam McCaig? How about Sam McWrong? McWrong.
McWrong.
This is awful.
That's McTerrible.
Let me do the list real quick here, okay?
Right.
I'm going to start, you know, this easy at the bottom here. Sean Bergenheim.
Ryan Clough is not better than Sean Bergenheim. That's the statement.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Simone Gagné? Seriously? If you were playing street hockey, you could pick between the two of them. Would anybody take scrambled eggs over Klo? No, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Smith? The guy can't stop crying. He was not good last year.
No.
Not a good player. Not the player he used to be. Ryan Smith 5 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Evander Kane? Good young player. What's he done? He's right. Better than a 62-point forward who was a plus 13 with 100 penalty minutes last year?
Right.
I mean, seriously?
And didn't even
Nikolai
play. Didn't even play top line.
Nikolai Kuhlman?
Yeah.
It's not a bad... I'm not saying these guys are bad players.
No.
Ville Leino? Number 14?
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Clough better than Ville Leino?
Right.
Andrew Ladd?
Andrew Ladd?
Andrew Ladd? The guy, he's not a bad player. He's a good second line forward. But I would take Ryan Clough over Andrew Ladd. Scott Hartnell, dude. Scott Hartnell, we like Scott Hartnell.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
We like Scott Hartnell.
Absolutely.
Scott Hartnell, what kind of year did he have last year? I know you were looking at it before.
Scott Hartnell had a year where he had 49 points.
Okay, that's good. Ryan Clough had 62.
Right.
Good. So, yeah. Good. That's a real good job.
Yeah.
I'm real impressed with this list. Come on.
Same number of points as Patrick Elias, Ryan Clough, and Ryan Clough had more goals.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt I'd rather have Ryan Clough. And I'm sure I'm of the home field advantage opinion here.
Sure.
But you can't tell me that most people wouldn't rather have Ryan Clough over Patrick Elias.
Brooks Like, 48 points last year.
Well, Brooks Like is...
played all 82 games.
Yeah,
Ryan Clough had a better year last year than Brooks Like has had in his career.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brooks Like brings something different to the table, which is he's one of the best defensive forwards in the NHL. But that's a problem here. That's a problem.
I'm having difficulty finding wings on this list that
this
have
guy
more,
just blew it.
That have more points than Ryan Clough. Like there, I haven't found one yet.
I'm still
looking.
I want him to admit he blew it. Don't you think he should admit that he blew it?
Alex Tanguay.
Should we email him? Are you gonna
Alex Tanguay? Oh no, Alex Tanguay had more points. Okay, Alex Tanguay. I'll give you Alex Tanguay. Interesting.
Dude, are you irritated by this?
Yeah,
as much as I am.
To me, it just seems like he just forgot, or maybe he's like, oh, I can only have like one guy per team or something. I don't know. It seems strange. Although he does have both Scott Hartnell and James Van Riemsdyk from the Flyers.
Yeah, no one guy per team.
That's just strange.
No, he blew it.
And you're right.
You blew it.
And he has Burrows and Sedin from the Canucks.
Yeah, lame. And Burrows ranked way far too low. 13.
Right.
Burrows number 9. He's over Camilleri. Please.
Yep. Camilleri. You know, Camilleri didn't miss that many games. He missed 13.
That's
games.
Even worse because his numbers were not good last year.
Right.
Sorry, dude. I had to get that out of my system.
I understand,
so,
dude. It's weird. It's weird to have somebody like that, like just sort of forgotten. Like he's just like not. I mean, the even the honorable mentions. Curtis Glencross is on the list. I mean, really?
Yeah. It's
you're gonna say Ryan Clough isn't as good as Curtis Glencross, who had 43 points last year.
Yeah,
43 points.
It's. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for him.
And that's weird.
Yeah, Mick wrong. Mick lousy blogger.
Dustin Penner. I gotta look up Dustin Penner's stats.
Dustin Penner, dude, his stats don't even reflect how lame this guy was last year.
Not good.
Lame.
All right. So, dude, I'm glad you got that off your chest. So, everybody,
thanks.
You can write nasty emails to Sean McKay or Sam McKay, excuse me. And
I want an apology in person on the podcast.
In person. He needs to buy us frozen custard.
That's right.
All right. All right, dude. It's a good week.
How was I with the iPad? Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, pretty damn good, dude.
So?
Your performance is improving.
Yeah. And we still managed to talk for 33 minutes.
That's right.
Fantastic.
But no more than that.
All right, I'm out of here.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.